So today, we're going to kick off this new sermon series called The Struggle is Real. Anybody in here ever struggled before? You ever had a little bit of a struggle? Now, I hope that you weren't like those people on the video. I'm not sure what was going on with the little kid. It looked like they were rubbing peanut butter all over him. I hope that never happens at my house or at yours. That's really interesting. And so anyway, we're going to look at a few things during this series and just talk about some things that I believe that people are struggling with. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about your perspective of a struggle. But coming up in a few weeks, and I'll let you know ahead of time, I do want to talk about struggling with relationships. And this is going to be a big one because I think there's a lot of people, whether it's a friendship or a marriage or even a relationship it's with someone at work, there are some things that we are struggling with. And I believe it's creating some issues and even some stress that we don't even need in our lives. And so in a few weeks, we're going to share about that. And one of the things also I felt led to share during this sermon series is the struggle with prayer. Because there's a lot of folks who struggle with praying, and I want to help you out. Come on, how many of you say, help me out, preacher? And so I want to help you out with that. But so this morning, to kick it off, we're going to go to the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And we're going to read a little bit of scripture before we dive in and talk about the struggle. Genesis 32, and we're going to look at a guy named Jacob. Jacob, he's an interesting character in the Bible. Genesis chapter 32, verse 22. It says, during the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons. Now, we can stop right there and just already know this dude is struggling. Am I right? I mean, you got all that going on. You are struggling. So let's start over. During the night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two servant wives, and his 11 sons and crossed the Jabbok River with them. And after taking them to the other side, he sent over all his possessions. And this left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. So literally, this guy has a real struggle, a real wrestling match that he is in. In verse 25, it says, when the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of its socket. And then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. You're beginning to get a picture of this guy, Jacob. He's kind of hard-headed, and I mean, he just wants what he wants, okay? And so he said, I'm not going to let go unless you bless me. In verse 27, it says, what is your name? The man asked, and he replied, Jacob. And he says, you'll no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel, because you have fought with God and with men and have won. Please tell me your name, Jacob says. It's kind of like, you want to know my name? What's your name, son? And he says, please tell me your name. And he says, why do you want to know my name? The man replied. And then he blessed Jacob there. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray today, Lord, that your word will come alive in each of our hearts and help us to see some things that we've never seen before. And help us to believe like we've never believed before, Lord, to trust you completely with all of our lives, not just the pieces of it, but with all of it. And so, Lord, I pray today that as we hear this message, it'll be life-giving and life-changing. And, Lord, I ask for your help today to communicate this word, Father. May I do it in the tone of heaven, and may I do it the way, Lord, that you want it said. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Today, we're starting a new series, The Struggle is Real. And after a lot of thought and prayer about this, because I had so many ideas of where to go, especially after Easter, I know that there's a lot of people who are struggling with different things. You're wrestling with something. Maybe it's a big decision. Maybe it's something with your finances. Maybe it's something with a relationship or even with your family. But we tend to get into the struggles in our lives, and we're not always sure what to do. We have a sense that we need God's help, but a lot of times we don't hit the panic button until it gets so bad where we could have hidden it before. And so this morning, what I want to do is just to help us to get the right perspective of struggle. Now, let me say this. Jesus has never promised you and I a struggle-free life. Now, you need to know this, because sometimes we think that Jesus just wants me happy. And I do believe he wants us happy, but that doesn't mean you're not have to go through something to get there. And I just want you to know your whole life began with a struggle. You don't believe me? The day you were born, just talk to your mama. You will find out that there was a struggle when your life began. And so knowing that a miracle can come from that struggle, look at your neighbor and just let them know I'm a miracle. Just tell them I am a miracle. If a miracle can come from that struggle, who knows what God can bring forth from the struggles of your life? And so I just want to remind you, though, that in your struggles, that he is with you. That's the promise that God has given us, that he would always be with us. So maybe today you feel like you're all alone, you're not sure what to do. I want you to know that God is with you, even in the middle of your struggle. Now, to sit here today and to try to hit every single thing that you're struggling with, that every single person in here is struggling with, we would be here for a while. Okay, because there's a lot of different things that we're struggling with. So I can't really tailor this message exactly to every single thing that every single person in this room is dealing with. So today I'm going to be a tad bit general with it. And I want to start out by talking about where do some of these struggles come from. Because some of the things that you think is a struggle isn't really a struggle. It's just you. Okay? It's just you. Look at your neighbor and say, it might be you. And if you're having marriage problems, that might help you get started with working on it. Okay? It might just be you. I'm not blaming no one. I'm just trying to help you get the conversation started. I'm not responsible for the fight in the car after church. Started thinking about what's the source of some of our struggles. And just trying to be really, really general about it and just trying to be obvious about it. I found like in my own life that one of the places that I find struggling is in decisions. Just making decisions. Come on, anybody ever been there before? Trying to figure out what to do. When you're younger, you're trying to figure out what to do with your future. Guess what? When you get older, you're still trying to figure out what to do with your future. I mean, you're just not sure what to do. And so there are decisions, though, that are made that affect us. There are decisions that you made years ago that are affecting you still today. Some of those decisions were really good. Some of them you say, well, I wish we can go back and have a redo. But we're struggling sometimes with what do I do? Not just what I have done, but what do I do? And it's usually in that place we get a little bit of confusion. And when we're confused, that's really where we're struggling. Because I don't know what to do. You ever been a place of I don't know for a long time? Like just, I don't know what to do. And people ask you, what are you going to do? And the last thing you want to tell them is, I don't know. Because when you tell them, I don't know, then they feel the need to tell you what you need to do. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's just a struggle. And so decisions and some decisions that were made, you had nothing to do with. There were people in your life that made decisions that still affect you today. In fact, you're still struggling because of those decisions that were made. They are still affecting you to this day. So I believe that struggles begin, one of the places, and is with decisions. Now, another place I think you can find struggles is in different situations. You remember how you prayed and asked God to give you that job? Just, oh, Lord, bless me. And then you get the job, and you show up there in the first few weeks. It's great because all it is orientation, and they're feeding you. And then when the meals quit, now you really got to do the work. And you realize that the person in the cube next to you, come on, how many of y'all got a person in the cube next to you? I didn't say nothing bad about him. I just said you got a person next to you. You realize that this is going to be an interesting journey. Can we just say it that way? This is going to be an interesting journey for you as you live out your employment, as you live out your career, because this isn't what you thought. You're like, Lord, did you really bless me here? Or are you tempting me and trying me and testing me? And sometimes it just brings about situations that just happen to fall into place. Sometimes things just happen out of the blue. You didn't expect that car accident that now has just messed up your whole financial situation. Now the insurance doesn't want to pay. And now you got a whole new situation because we were supposed to take this family trip, and now you got all of the, I mean, just all of the repercussions of that with your kids melting down because you said we were going to Disney. You know how that worked? Come on. I'm talking to somebody today, and it creates a struggle because you're not sure what to do, and now you're back in the number one spot where you're trying to make decisions. I don't know what to do. What are we going to do? I don't know. And so you're struggling trying to figure it out, and these are the things that wake you up at 2, 3 in the morning. You're like, what is wrong with me? I'm dead tired, but I can't sleep because these things are just weighing on our minds. So we got decisions, we got situations. I think there's also some frustrations. Come on, anybody ever had a frustration before? You ever been frustrated with something you're not sure what it is? I don't know. They say, what is wrong with you? I don't know. Why are you so mad? I'm not mad. Yes, you are. I am not mad. Keep talking like that, I will be. Just frustrated because I think we want this thing to happen like this and it's happening like that. And we've been working on this a lot and we've worked on it so much, but it's still going like that. But we were hoping it would go like this. And now I'm frustrated because I feel like we put all that work into it and nothing is working out. It's frustrating. We struggle with that because when you frustrate it, it's kind of like a gateway to the next decision of like, I give up. You ever got to the point you felt like giving up before? Just frustrated with it. What about temptations? You ever been tempted before? That's a struggle right there. Well, you know the right thing to do. I feel like I know the right thing to do, but I don't know what other way to say it, but it's just like, I know what I'm supposed to do, but this thing, this thing, I got to have it. I know I'm not supposed to, but I got to have it. I got to do it. I got to get it. It's a struggle because we know it's not the right thing to do, and it begins to interfere with our convictions. And I believe this, even your convictions can become a struggle for you. You ever struggle with your convictions? Let me show you where it shows up. Not usually with you, it's with your kids. Well, you do it all the time. Let me tell you something, kid. That's where you want to say, do as I say and not as I do. But you can't get away with it because they remember all that stuff. There can be a struggle even with our convictions. Some of you struggle with your conviction this morning. You have a conviction to go to church on Sunday, but you almost said no. There was a struggle. Come on, how many of y'all know that struggle, what I'm talking about? And usually that struggle results in hitting something. Snooze button. Sometimes we're hitting the snooze button a lot in our lives because we're struggling. It's a struggle. And these are just some of the sources. There's a lot of other places that I believe struggles can come from. But I wanted to paint a picture today just to bring you into the boat and help you to see that perhaps some of the things that you're struggling with, these are some of the places that is creating that struggle. Now, when you read the Bible, one of the people that come to mind, at least comes to my mind whenever I read it that was struggling, is this guy named Jacob. Now, this guy, he seems to be really popular. In fact, his name is really popular, and I believe this is someone that we can identify with. Because he all of his life, it seemed like he's striving, and he's trying to achieve something. And he had this older brother. Now, you have to understand, like, if you're the second child, I mean, there's already a little bit of sibling rivalry built into it. How many second child children in here? You the second child in your family. I'm a second child, and I just happen to think I'm the best. And my parents are here to back me up on that. Amen, Dad? Come on, help me now. I'm in front of people. Don't leave me hanging. If you're the only child, God bless you. And if you're one of many, God bless you. So this guy, Jacob, though, he was literally born seconds after his brother, Esau. So this is a little twin situation that's going on here, okay? And so there's the brother Esau, and then there's Jacob. There's something really graphic that happens as Esau is being born. Really graphic. As Esau is being born, Jacob, the younger brother, is literally grabbing the heel of his older brother as the birth is taking place. I'm trying to be clean here. Mama's in the house, so I can't talk like that with her here. But can you imagine? Okay, you can't imagine. I'm not going to go any further with it. So already, Jacob is just snapping at the heels of his brother, Esau. And as you watch the stories of their lives unfold, you always see Jacob very jealous of Esau. And Jacob is constantly trying to get what Esau has, constantly. And so you can look at Jacob's life and see that this guy is struggling. He is struggling because he is jealous of his brother. He sees all of this great stuff his brother has that is inherited to him. And he wants what his brother has. And he actually just lives his life chasing a blessing. Can I just throw this in here too? His mama helps him too, do a little bit of deception with the dad. I mean, mom gets in on it just to try to help the little baby boy out. I mean, this stuff starts to get intense, but he's living like this all of his life. This guy Jacob just struggling, all because he wants to be blessed. Always chasing the blessing, conspiring, deceiving. And what he does is he tricks his brother. This is how far he's willing to go. And this is what you need to know about struggling. Struggling will make you do some things that you never thought you would do. And that could be good or that could be bad. But Jacob reached a point where he was struggling so bad that he decided that he would trick his brother into selling his birthright. Firstborn son had the birthright of the father. And he would trick his brother into selling out his birthright for food. You heard that. For a meal. Now, I know some young fellas in here, you do anything for food. And I guess Jacob, he knew he cooked good and his brother was hungry and he said, let's give it a shot. And so he tricked his brother into selling his birthright. Then he tricks his father. He goes on his father's deathbed. He goes and pretends that he is his brother It's another thing struggling will do. It'll make you become somebody that you're not. Come on, this is just stuff from the story. We haven't even got to the points yet. And he's trying to be somebody he's not because he's trying to get his brother's blessing. He's trying to get what belongs to his brother. And what happens over time is this becomes just this epic rivalry between siblings. And I had an older brother. I have two younger brothers. And I want you to know there was some serious sibling rivalry in our house. I mean, a lot of competition, a lot of arguing, a lot of safe fighting. Okay, we didn't really get violent. We just handled business. I promise, Mom. And now it's gone on so long that now Esau is, it's really tracking down Jacob because he wants it back. And Jacob is basically running for his life to protect himself as well as his family. He's really fearful that his brother Esau is going to come and kill him. And I don't know if you can see, but this guy right here has gotten himself in a pretty good situation where it's a struggle. I mean, night and day, his eyes have to be open because he doesn't know what's going to happen next. Now, I don't know if you're that far with your struggles, but I promise you this, that there are some folks in this place today where the struggle is so real that it's consuming your life. It's consuming everything. You go to work, but you're not working. You're dealing with the struggle. You're at home. You're with the family. Can't even have a normal conversation with the family because you're dealing with the struggle. And so it's always having to deal with the situation. Always having to have a talk about the marriage. Always having to deal with the kids about their behavior. Always having to talk about the finances. Always having to talk about this. And it just seems like every conversation, everything that we're doing, it's just centered around our struggle. And so we say we need to get away for a few days. So we get away for a few days. And while we're away for a few days, we're reading a book. We're reading. We're sitting on the beach. It's paradise. But we're reading a book on how to deal with our struggle. And it just never, ever stops. It's everywhere. We're talking to people. We're trying to get counseling because the struggle is literally real. This isn't just an idea that we've created in our minds, but now it is something that is consuming us. And there are so many folks who are consumed with struggles and things in their lives that they cannot live the life that God intended for them to live because it's so much problem solving. And then because you're in such problem solving mode, now everything you look at, you're so anticipating a problem, you can't even look at it clearly. We're judging people wrongly because we automatically assume that they're going to be like the last person. And we have all of these issues that are coming right out of our struggles, and it's like, where is this coming from? I didn't know I was going to be this person. I mean, just help me out. I just need some help. And this guy Jacob, he's in this situation where he's just wanting to live a blessed life. That's all he's wanting, but he feels like it's all on him. And so he's living his whole life just striving, working, and trying to be blessed. And what he's doing along the way is he's taking some steps that I wouldn't recommend taking, but he feels like that is the only way this is going to work. And I fear that there are people who are taking some steps because they feel like this is the only way it's going to work. And they're digging a hole, and they're getting deeper and deeper in their struggle. And the day's going to come they can't figure out, what am I going to do to get out? Anybody ever been there before? So in this story, he's struggling to be blessed, and he's got a lot of ambition, and that's what it seems like. You can look at the story from one perspective and say, man, this guy, he's a go-getter. I mean, he's just got super negotiation skills, Pastor Wade. That's all he's got. I mean, come on, give the guy some credit. But when you really step back and look at it, you see that this guy has a major fear problem. He's afraid that he won't be blessed. Sometimes we're afraid going in that the marriage won't work out. We're afraid that we won't be able to raise that kid. We're afraid that we won't be able to make it in that career line. We're afraid, we're fearful, and because we're fearful, we respond. And instead of responding in the right way, which is with faith, we respond out of our fears. And what do our fears continually do? It puts us in these impossible situations, whereas if we have faith, all things are possible. Amen. And so it's just a matter of how are we going to respond. And so when you look at Jacob, he just keeps digging this deeper and deeper hole, and his fears have caused him to react in ways that aren't even necessary. Watch how far he's willing to go. And this is what I need you to see. He was willing to go so far as to wrestle with God. You see, this man that showed up was actually an angel that God sent, and he was willing to go as far as to wrestle with God. I mean, listen, I need you to think of the audacity that a person has to have to be willing to go toe-to-toe with the Almighty God. Amen. I mean, we're talking about the creator of all the world here. And willing to go toe to toe. You know you're a bad boy and you have slipped off a little bit if you're willing to go toe to toe with the Almighty God. And so he's wrestling with God because he was literally afraid that he wouldn't be blessed. So he had to do something about it. And Jacob is that guy that just beats his chest and says, I'm a self-made man. I can handle this myself. And you can see and you can feel the pride coming out of him. And he wrestles with God. And watch this. God lets him win. I need you to see that God let him win. God could have took him out. The sovereign God can take him out, I promise you. But lets him win. He is willing to let him win so that this guy, Jacob, would finally stop striving and fighting to get this blessing that God has already promised to him. It's kind of like, dude, you don't have to do it. You're overdoing it. Can I say this? Our struggles can put us in the place that we overdo it. We can overdo it when we're trying to fix the marriage. We can overdo it when we're trying to correct the kids. We can overdo it when we're trying to deal with the situations at work. I know the flip side of it, but Pastor, something has to be done. You're right, something has to be done. But we have to know our place, and we got to let God have his place. Amen? You got to know the difference between you and God, or else you'll be willing to go toe-to-toe with the Almighty. And I don't think that's the place that we want to be in. This is what I wonder. I've always wondered this about this story. I wonder if Jacob had just asked. I wonder if he had just asked God if God would have blessed him. I do. I wonder if he had to go through all of that to get what God had for him. I wonder if he just would have said, Lord, I was second. I didn't finish in first place in our family. I finished in second place. But I know you love me. Would you still bless me like you blessed my brother? I just wonder what would happen. He could have skipped a lot of mess. I wonder the same thing for us. If we could have skipped a lot of mess in our life, if we had just gone to the Lord instead of taking the matters into our own hands. I just wonder that. I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'm just saying know God's place and know yours. And a lot of times our place is go to him. Go to him. I just wonder if Jacob had gone to God and said, God, I don't feel like it's fair. My brother's getting all the blessing. I'm not getting anything. What you got? But he took it into his own hands, creates all this family situation. They've just been fighting about it. And to relate it to you, I wonder, because this is a perspective problem. I wonder, just like Jacob's perspective, how it affected everything he was doing. I wonder how our perspective of our struggles is affecting us. How we see it. Because there's another side to it. There's another side to it. Several years ago, I took my boys to see their first 3D movie. Ella Pearl was born, and I needed to get the boys out of the house. Cynthia said, yo. So I said, let's go see a movie. So I took them to see that movie, Ice Age, Dawn of the Dinosaurs. And so we got the 3D glasses and went into the movie theater, got the popcorn. And, you know, watching the 3D movie, it feels real. I mean, you put those glasses on, and next thing you know, everything is moving all around in the theater. And so we're sitting there, and then, you know, this whole movie, it's all about a squirrel. His name is Sid, and he spends the entire, some of you, you know, you've watched the movie, and some of you are going to go, you're going to rent it after this, okay? And so this squirrel, Sid, he chases this acorn throughout the whole entire movie. And so you're getting so caught up in the story, and you're feeling bad for Sid because it's like somebody grab the acorn and give it to Sid. Just give Sid the acorn. And so you're going through the entire movie and everything is going well and you're impressed with the animation and how everything is moving. And it happens every time I go see these 3D movies. They always want to throw something at you. And you jump and you react and your kids look at you like, what's wrong? But it feels like something is coming straight at you. It's not real. But because of those glasses that I'm wearing, it feels like you take them off and it's kind of like blurry. It ain't real. But you put them on and that stuff's coming like right at you. Every 3D movie I go see now, I'm jumping because it's stuff flying at me. Like, leave me alone. Quit throwing stuff at me. Trying to enjoy a movie. I paid for this. When Cynthia and I got married, we went for our honeymoon, we went to this 4D theater. It's like a Motion Master theater kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about? It's the 3D thing, but then it's 4D because they put the wind and the chairs move and everything, and they throw water at you. And so we're at this thing. It was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and it's a roller coaster. And so you're riding the roller coaster, and you feel the chair jumping, you know, with every, you know, on the tracks, and then the wind's blowing in your face, and so it rolls to the side, and you're kind of doing this thing, and you're rolling all around and all this stuff, and it's moving. Wind's blowing in your face, and you're really getting into it because it's intense, it's loud, and it's going really fast. The track's in. And you just feel like, oh, God, and Cynthia's grabbing me like we're about to die. I mean, we just got married, and this is going to be the end of our family. And then when you land, you don't crash. You land in a dune buggy in your middle of the desert, and you're riding around this dune buggy. You're flying all over the place. I mean, just, and then you go over the side of the cliff, and you're falling again, and then you crash into water. Everything's shaking, and then he's like, thank you for coming to the ride. Please exit to the right. We walk out there, Cynthia opens the door, and she's just leaning over, just sick as could be because of all the movements and everything. And I really begin to think about this. This is what our struggles do to us. This is what our struggles do because of our perspective. Every time I go to a 3D movie, now I'm ready for it. I know you're throwing something at me. I'm ready. Watch out, boys, because it ain't going to hit me this time. Those glasses, the way I've been seeing it, has automatically made me assume that's going to happen every time. Going to the motion movie theater where everything's moving, I automatically feel like we're going to crash. Good thing they don't have the one with the planes. We wouldn't go in that. That wouldn't work. But do you see how it's created a perspective? I just wonder if these things that are going on in our lives has affected our perspective so much that things that aren't even real seems so real to us that we're reacting that way, that we're reacting to that relationship that way because our perspective on relationships, we're reacting to that person that way because of our perspective of the person. We've been burnt before, and we can't let that happen again. And so now I have to protect myself. Is this making sense to anybody? It seems real, but it isn't real. But that's how it makes me feel. What I'm seeing and how I'm seeing it shapes what I believe it is, which makes me think this is what's really happening to me. So the struggle seems real, but it might not be real. I know that's confusing, but hang with me. It seems like it's real, but it might not even be real. It might just be something that I think is happening that might not really be happening. Maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe. Because of what has happened before. Maybe I am doing some certain things that I don't even realize I'm doing because that's what I've always felt like needed to be done. But after doing it this long, I'm realizing it's not really producing anything. It's just kind of making me feel good that at least I'm not doing anything. Come on, am I talking to anybody in this place today? Listen, don't think that this guy up here hadn't struggled before. Because there are a lot of thoughts that run through our mind. Come on, we're imagination people. I mean, we were taught early, use your imagination. And so our imagination comes up with. So you ever looked at some movies these days and said, what are these people doing? Like the dude that wrote that, what was he doing? Like, this guy's dark. Like, my mind can't even go there. I was sheltered as a kid, but goodness. A couple years ago, after moving here to start the church, I went through something that I had never been through before, ever in my life. We had a great start for the church. Came from a great home church, had a great family growing up, all of these great things, and I just expected everything to go as smooth as silk. I just thought everything was going to be great. And then I started seeing that this is not going the way that I thought it would. Anybody ever had that happen to them before in their life? This ain't working out like I thought it was going to work. So about that same time that I'm analyzing what in the world's going on, woke up one morning to bring my kids to school, and I go out to get in the car, but the car wasn't there. Hello. So I'm looking everywhere. Looked in the garage. It wasn't in there. I looked in some boxes that still hadn't been unpacked since we moved here. Wasn't in there. Not that it would fit, but, you know, when you're looking, you just look everywhere. Looked on the side of the house. Looked in the woods. My son, Judah, he says, "Dad, you ever think the car might have been stolen?" It's like, thank you, Captain Obvious. So in my mind, I'm just thinking, how can this be happening? Like, I was already struggling, but then this happens. And listen, I know some of you, if you start telling your story, you're like, "Oh, yeah, well, let me tell you." I know. Listen, it's just something I walk through. So during that whole debacle of trying to figure out the car situation, at the same time, Cynthia gets a call. She was working this particular job for 19 years, and this was a very secure job. Amen. Elbow your neighbor and say, "Secure." You know what that means. Okay. A really secure job. And basically, they tell her, you know, a couple months we're in this contract. This is all happening at one time. And, you know, that whole "when it rains, it pours" thing. Trust me, I knew that line well. I just felt like, what's going on, man? This is hard. Started out really determined. Like, let's go do this thing. Got really determined to do it, fired up. But then I started to get disappointed. And you could take this kind of like different dimensions of a struggle, if you will, because we all start out determined. This is going to be awesome. And then disappointment comes. And it's not usually the first disappointment that happens that gets you. Because we're resilient people. It's the next one and the next one and the next one. It just starts eating away at your confidence, and it makes you start, questioning things. Like all kinds of things you never thought of before. And it leads you to this place where you're just discouraged, just overwhelmed with discouragement. And you're walking around trying to figure out, what's wrong with me? And I remember I would say, "I don't know what's wrong with me. This is not me. This is not who I am. Like, I'm an upbeat person. I believe we can do the impossible. Let's do this." But one disappointment after another, and next thing you know, I feel like I'm breaking down here. And then you reach the point where you just feel defeated. Because everything you try, come on, this isn't working. I do believe that if I had gone and seen somebody that day, a professional for help, they probably would have told me, "Bro, I think you're depressed." I do. I mean, it got that far. And I was trying to figure out, how did this happen? Because this is not me. I don't do depressed stuff. Like, I don't get defeated. Like, let's go do this. I'm a fired up kind of guy. But it was just so overwhelming. All of the questions, all of the doubts, all of the worries, all of this stuff was just bombarding me all at one time, and it wouldn't stop. I knew it. I'm struggling. I need help. And I wonder, when we're in that situation, where are we throwing our lifeline? If we even throw one, because most of us wouldn't throw the lifeline. Most of us would try to figure out how to keep this boat floating ourselves. We would try to figure out, how do I keep this going myself? But the reality is this: when you're struggling, you need help. Elbow your neighbor right now and preach to him for me and tell him, "Brother, you need some help." You don't want to tell them because you're afraid they're going to tell you. You need help. Out of everything that was going on, I couldn't control any of it. It was happening too quickly. It was too much. I just couldn't control it. But the one thing that I struggled with more than all of these things happening to me to control, the one thing I struggled with the most was my perspective. How I was viewing it, how I was viewing myself, how I was viewing my life, because I started having questions. Maybe you're not called to do this. Maybe this wasn't God's plan for you. Maybe God's punishing you because you didn't really hear what he said, and now you're in a place you don't need to be, and God's trying to show you. You see how that just crazy stuff starts to happen? Where do those ideas come from? Like, where is this coming from? And I was struggling because my perspective was constantly being challenged. For a guy who was once determined, "Let's do this. I have no doubts about it." Now I'm in a place where I doubt everything. Everything. Just like, how is this going to work? So I had to walk through this, but I knew I had to fix my perspective. And this is how I want to wrap this message up this morning. Real quick, basic stuff. How do I fix my perspective? How do I fix my perspective? Here's the first thing. And this stuff is really simple. You might get mad at me. It's so simple, but you know it's true. The first thing is this. You got to remember God's promises. I was forgetting the promises of God because I was looking at all the problems. I forgot that God's promises are bigger than these problems. But my perspective was just like in a 3D movie. I just felt like more and more stuff was being thrown at me, and I had to react so that another thing wouldn't hit me. My perspective was wrong, and so automatically I assumed the next thing that happened. Oh, this is another thing. Here comes another thing. Here comes another thing. Hold on. What about the promises of God, where he promised to never leave us and to never forsake us, to provide for all of our needs, to be our refuge in times of trouble, to give us strength when we're weak? Why do we forget the promises? Here's why. Because we build our lives on the wrong foundations. We're building our lives on pieces of God's word instead of the reality of God's word. And so when the storms of life come, yeah, our house was built on a foundation, but it's pieces of rock, which is sand. And no wonder when the storms come, it all falls apart. But we've got to get ourselves in the place where we believe God all the way, and not just some of him, but all of him, and build our lives on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ. And what did he say? Anyone who hears my words and obeys them, their house will be built on a rock, and even though the storms come, their house will stand. And we've got to get our lives built on the foundation of God's word rather than what they said and what he said and what she said and what I read on the internet. I've got to build my life on the firm foundation of God's word. And this is where you realize all of those years, look, I grew up in church. All of those years of growing up in church where they kept telling me, you got to read your Bible. You got to read your Bible. And I thought it was a task. I didn't realize that that was my preparation. I didn't realize that that was building the foundation of my life that my life could stand on. Because sometimes all you got is what God said. All you got is what God said. And that's what we stand on. We stand on the foundation of God's word. We live in a culture where people no longer know their Bible. They know about the Bible, but they don't know their Bible. And that's why people are falling away, because they don't have a firm foundation. And their perspective is so messed up that it seems like everything is being thrown at us. How are we going to be able to stand? We've got to have a firm foundation underneath us. Can I encourage you today to not just look at the Bible and not just agree with the Bible, but hide the word of God in your heart so that when those struggles come, you got something to stand on. Instead of just standing against it, it's knocking you down. I have something to stand on that holds me firm. Even though the enemy comes against me, the word of God is a standard that rises up against it, and it holds me in my place. Amen? Got to have a foundation of God's word. I got to remember his promises. Got to remember his promises. Here's the second thing. If I'm going to fix my perspective, I got to connect with the right people. I got to have the right people around me. You got to have some people in your life that's going to help you to remember God's promises. Not just give you good ideas, because sometimes that idea might lead you straight to defeat. But you got to have somebody that's going to remind you of the promises, that's going to help you to stand, and instead of encouraging you, run. Who are the people that are around you in your life? Are they entertainment buddies? Oh, we go to the show all the time. That's great that they go to the show, but have they been in the presence of God any? Come on. Because I need somebody who can get in their prayer room and pray, like really pray. And not just, Lord, bless them, but like, Lord, deliver them from evil. Deliver them from the hand of the enemy. Somebody that can cover you. Somebody that can cover your family. And I'll flip it. What about you? Are you being that kind of friend to somebody else that they know, hey, this person's got my back. And when the enemy comes against me, they are standing right there with me, firm and holding me accountable to God's word and reminding me of the promises of God. If we're going to make it through struggles, I need the word, but I also got to have a friend, faithful friend. That's why we do these e-groups. That's why we do them, because we're trying to help you to get around people who are growing in their walk with God and having a biblical perspective, so that when you're going through something, you don't have to go through it alone. Amen. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I need you. I need you. Don't you leave me alone. I need you. Connect with people who believe and not just people who relieve. Let me say that again. Connect with people who believe God and not just people who are trying to relieve you of what you're walking through. Come on, that's a word for somebody here today, because you're just looking for somebody to tell you nice words, telling you stuff. Sometimes you just need to be told, hey, you need to trust God. Hey, you need to obey God. Come on. Who's your friends? Who are you running with? Got to have those friends, that right person, those right people around you. You got to have a church family. You got to have someone that's going to hold you up and help you to keep going. The third thing is you got to keep on praying. Listen, I'm telling you, from where I walked, I had to keep on praying, even though, listen, every time I would go to pray, doubts. He ain't hearing you because you ain't in his will. That's the stuff I would hear. He ain't hearing you because you ain't in his will. And until you get in his will, he won't hear you. That's not even doctrinally correct. I mean, it's not, but I'm telling you, it seemed real. It sounded real. I mean, it sounded like Bible school to me. That's how real it was sounding. I mean, it was twisting and deceiving, but I knew I had to pray. And a lot of the reason I knew I had to pray is what I was taught and what I saw. I had good examples in my life. And so I remembered what they did when they walked through hell. They trusted God. They had the right people around and they kept praying. What did Paul tell us to do? He says, pray without ceasing. In other words, don't stop praying. And the one thing the enemy's going to try to get you to do is to stop praying about it. You know that you're in trouble with this struggle when you quit praying about it. You said, I've asked God to forgive me 1,000 times over. I feel like I'm praying the same prayer. Don't stop praying the prayer. Don't stop praying the prayer. Keep asking. Keep asking. God, I need your help. I need your help. He didn't help me today. You don't see it. He might be setting it all up. Keep asking. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. And the last thing was this. Don't stop praising. Can't lose your song. Get in my truck, turn the music as loud as could be. I was trying to drown out every thought. And listen, I wouldn't listen to 103.1 The Wolf, I promise you that. I had my worship music on loud and proud. And I would just sing because I didn't know what else to do. And people, I'm sure they thought I was crazy. I don't care if they thought I was crazy. I made it through it. Don't matter if you think I'm crazy. I would have been crazy if I didn't make it. But the Lord helped me get through this. Thankfully, I had somebody I could call. Scott, you better help me, brother. This is my pastor back at home. Scott, I'm going crazy here, man. I feel like I have made the biggest mistake of my life. You know what he kept doing? Just reminding me of what God said. Let me remind you of what God said. Let me take you back to what God said. Remember those promises. Remember those things that were spoken over your life? You remember? Yeah, I remember. And I noticed that my defeat was starting to turn around. You ever seen that with a team before? They bring a new coach in and the whole culture changes. The team turns around and they start winning. That's what happened. It's like this attitude, this new thing rose up in me. Wait a minute. I'm not going down like this. I can't go down. I can't do this on my own, but I'm not going to go down. So I'm going to do what I know that needs to be done. Where's my foundation? Where's my place? Where am I planted at? I got the promises of God's word. Who are my people? Who are my people? Come on. Let me talk to my people. Get them around me. God, I'm going to keep praying. And I would pray, and a lot of times it felt like my prayers would hit the roof of the truck and bounce right back. I'd pray them again, and it felt like it would bounce right back at me. But I kept doing it, and I kept worshiping God, even though I didn't see the results I wanted to see. Even though I wasn't seeing everything I wanted to see, I just said, God, I need you. I need you. And I started to notice little things were breaking through. But this is the thing that was breaking through. It wasn't all the stuff I was praying for. It was me. My perspective was changing. I didn't wake up anymore fearful of what was going to happen that day. because I was on the other side. I knew that God was for me and not against me. I didn't wake up that day fearing the worst. I was ready to do the best. That's why I say sometimes the struggle is all about our perspective, because we've seen defeat so much, we've been taught more of how to not lose instead of how to win. I went from defense to offense. It was a game changer, because I realized that a lot of the things that were thrown at me that I was believing weren't even true. It was all lies to try to take me down. And I wonder what situation you're struggling with today. It's the same thing. It's just stuff being thrown at you constantly. And you're waking up and saying, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. And you're ducking and you're trying to miss. Can we take those old glasses off? The glasses that life prescribed to us, try to help us figure out how we were going to make it all work, how we were going to do it. And can we put on the glasses that help us seek Him? Come on. His ways are higher than ours. Let me break this down. That means He sees it clearly. He sees it like we don't. And we need to have some good oversight in our lives. Come on, somebody. You got to have some oversight, or else you're going to make some mistakes that you didn't even have to make. You're going to assume some things you didn't have to assume. Can we take this thing and say, God, I need you today. I need you in this struggle. I'm going to finish with this verse of scripture, Psalm 42, verse 1 through 11. It says, as the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I remember this verse. When I was struggling, I'm telling you, I remember this verse where I didn't know what in the world was going on. I'm telling you, it was out of my control. It was way out of my control. I'm like, I'm losing it. I'm going to have to tell my wife I'm losing it. Like, that's what I thought. I think she already knew. This was it. As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I go and stand before Him? Day and night I have only tears for food, while my enemies continually taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers. I used to just like, God, I love you. Ain't nothing going to bring me down. And then I got into a struggle. Remember how it used to be. Walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sound of a great celebration. But why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you. I wonder who's in here today who was struggling that forgot the promises of God. I wonder who's in here today that forgot that God was a healer. You forgot that God was a restorer. You forgot that God could redeem. You forgot that God could forget it. You forgot all of these things because of everything, this stuff that you've been walking through, it's been thrown at you. You forgot that God was good. You forgot that God loved you. You forgot that you were worth it when He sent His Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins. You forgot it all because of everything that's coming against you. You forgot it. The Lord sent me here today to remind you He is still good. He hasn't forgotten about you. You got to remember Him. Come on, somebody. You got to remember Him. Did you remember? Wait a minute. He is my God. He is my rock. He is the fortress that I run. You forgot all about it because all you could think about is what you had to do next. I got to do this. Got to do this. Because if we don't do this, this is going to happen. You got really good at managing this thing, but you forgot that you had a God that oversaw it all. We forget about it. What are you struggling with today? What are you struggling with today? Last week when these folks came and walked on this stage, you know what they showed you? They showed you their struggle. That's what they showed you. I'm struggling. And I promise you, if you sit down with them and say, tell me your story, they start telling you, I had to remember God. I had to remember the promises. I forgot them because the situation got so great. I had to get the right people around me because I was just turning to anybody. Anybody who can help, I need your help. Some people, they can't help you. But there are others who can because they keep pointing you to the place, to the source, to the one who is your help. Amen. If you keep listening to them, they say, I had to keep praying. I didn't feel like praying. I hated praying. I guarantee you, listen to it, they'll say it. I didn't feel like praying another prayer. I told God enough. But I was faithful. I kept praying. I kept worshiping. There were days I didn't feel like it. And so the next day I had to tell myself, you got to do it. And you saw them when they flipped those cards. And everyone begins to rejoice in their heart because they see the miracle that God had done. Can I just tell you that God's not through with miracles? He's not through. There are struggles you're walking through that God can provide a miracle for. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed.